Turn to Luke 18 and verse number 1. We're going to start this morning here in this passage. We're going to look at the place of prayer. Luke chapter 18, and verse number 1. And we're going to read together, and we're going to read this verse if you would. Luke 18 verse 1, the Bible says this. The Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because the widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth?" From the beginning of time, men have prayed. In all types of places, at all times, and in every conceivable situation, men have prayed. Christian and heathen alike have spent massive amounts of time in the pursuit of prayer. However, few have made prayer their supreme priority. I tell you, those who have, though, stand out like bright lights in this world. Many choose to pray when it's convenient or when they were undergoing a time of great stress or trial. Do you realize that the Geneva Aviation Codes say this? If you are ever on a flight, I know this is not something you like to think about, but I found it interesting. If you're ever on a flight that is preparing to crash, and the pilot has time, you will hear the following, just so you're ready. "We are beginning our final descent. At this moment, in accordance with the International Aviation Codes established at Geneva, it is my obligation to inform you that if you believe in God, you should commence prayer." Do you really? I couldn't believe when I read that. But the aviation codes actually say, the pilot is to say that if you're getting ready to crash. I tell you, in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, it is clear that Jesus wants prayer to hold a preeminent place in our lives. And this morning we're going to consider the place of prayer. We're going to see that God expects us to be in constant contact with Him. Well, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless this message. Father, thank You for Your Word. I pray that You would just speak to our hearts, and that, Lord, we might see and understand the priority and the importance You place on prayer, that it might spur us to be more faithful and to place prayer at the highest priority in our lives. I ask that You would bless again this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we begin to talk about the place prayer ought to hold in our lives, we need to understand exactly what prayer is. Knowing what prayer is will help us to see why it deserves an elevated place in our lives. So what is prayer? Number one, prayer is an invitation to God. This is not coercion. This is not coaxing. This is simply inviting God to take over. Prayer is me admitting my weakness and His power. I think of Jairus. Remember Jairus, his daughter was sick, nigh to death. What did he do? He tried every other opportunity and every other avenue, but he realized the only hope that he had was Jesus, and he came to Him and begged Him for his help. Prayer is that. It's inviting God to take over. God, I need You. I can't do it. Number two, prayer is work. True prayer is not for the lazy. You see, true prayer may require us to get up early, stay up late. True prayer might require us to miss some sleep. Prayer is never really finished until it's grown feet and gone to work. In fact, we see that here, don't we, in this passage of Luke 18. The widow, she went to that judge over and over and over again until the judge was what? Answer her plea. answered her prayer. In the same fashion, prayer is not for the lazy. And I think that's why in Luke chapter 18, verse number 8, says this, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find what? Faith on the earth." I believe it's our faithlessness, our unbelief, that causes us to cease in our prayers. You know, I think we'll be saddened in our hearts when we see and God reveals to us how close He was to answering our prayers if we had just continued in prayer. So many times I think we quit praying right when the answer is right around the corner. Number three, prayer is a battle. You know, Satan, he doesn't fear, nor does he withstand our prayerlessness. But he will bitterly oppose your prayer efforts. He hates the Christian who prays. He hates it. Because he knows that is the secret to power. Prayer is our greatest weapon in this battle between good and evil. Prayer. It gets a hold of God. It's our communication, our direct link to Him. Number four, prayer is power. Moses prayed. And what happened?
See, Mark.
Daniel prayed. And what happened? The lions shut their mouths. The three Hebrews prayed in the middle of that fiery furnace. And what happened?
Jesus showed up.
I tell you, Elijah prayed. And what happened? God sent down fire from heaven. Paul and Silas prayed. And what happened? Remember?
The earth shook. The tent fell off. The other doors opened.
Prayer is power. I tell you, prayer is the greatest power we have upon this earth. Number five, prayer is a developer. Prayer is that essential ingredient that completes our character. It is impossible to grow in grace. You cannot grow as a Christian without prayer.
Prayer is essential in your development
as a believer. And number six, prayer is the Christian's wardrobe. While dwelling in a cold world, a Christian never need fear becoming cold through prayer. The praying church will never become a museum for frozen saints.
Amen. Praying church.
Prayer is the fragrance of Christian activity. True prayer sends up a sweet fragrance to the nose of God. So oftentimes we're like a bunch of artificial flowers.
They look so beautiful on the outside, but they don't smell.
Prayer is that which lends its fragrance to our activity. And lastly, prayer is communication with heaven. There's an unbroken line between the earth and the Father, and it's prayer. When we pray, we are brought into His presence. We are in touch with God Himself. Boy, it's like when you were kids. You remember having 10 games and the string?
Amazing how it works. I work with phone company. It's nice to have another open line somewhere. You know what prayer is? That tin can.
It goes from us to God. Think of it this way.
Prayer. It's like we have one side of the tin can, God has the other. Prayer
is that communication that we can have with God. 3 points this morning. Number one, prayer must be a priority. The theme. And this theme of prayer being a priority is repeated throughout the Bible. Here in Luke 18, verse 1, in Romans 12 and verse 12, the Bible says this. It says, "Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation." Listen to this. "Continuing instant in prayer." In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 17, the Bible says this. It says, "Pray without ceasing." We are to remain in a constant spirit of prayer. You ought to be in a spirit of prayer everywhere you go. Many in the Bible have placed a priority on prayer. We look at Job in Job chapter 1 and verse number 5. We see Job placed a high priority on prayer. Let me read this scripture for you. Job chapter 1 and verse number 5. The Bible says, "And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart. Thus did Job. How often? Continually.
Amen.
Job placed a priority on prayer. Abraham, and we could look at different passages, placed a great priority on prayer. Moses, David. I tell you, isn't that really what the Psalms are filled with? But David's prayers, oftentimes set to music. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 22, we see an illustration of David's attitude towards prayer. 2 Samuel 12, 22, the Bible says this. It says, "And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." David, when praying for the life of his child, prayed and prayed because he knew that's how God answered. I really believe that prayer was the secret to David's fearlessness. How could a young boy stand before that giant Goliath? That sword, that spear, that shield, and all he had was what?
Try five moonstones.
How could he stand there? And I'm sure in his heart, his flesh wanted to fear, but he stood there unwaveringly. And he took with that stone and he slung it around and put it right in the forehead of that giant. Why? Because he had already been in touch with God and knew God was behind him. Prayer. Elijah, 1 Kings 17 and verse 1, Elijah was a man of prayer. The Bible says this, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Elijah was a prayer warrior. Daniel, and you know what? Our best example is Jesus. In Matthew chapter 14, verse number 23, we see our Lord speaking of prayer here. And the Bible says this in verse 23, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone." Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 39, we see our Lord in the garden, and the Bible says, "Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with them Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and what? Prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." If Jesus relied so much on prayer, what does that say?
The very Son of God had to pray
and pray constantly.
What about you?
I think we better be on our knees, huh? I think we better have and put prayer as a priority in our lives. You know, Jesus takes for granted that people are going to pray. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, the Bible says, "And when thou prayest," he just makes an assumption, we are going to pray. Indeed, prayer has to be a priority. The question for you this morning, is prayer a priority in your life? Should be, because this is your lifeline to the Father. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, the Bible says this. It says, "And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." How do you build God's will? You know, people often, the great question is, how do I know what God wants me to do?
Prayer. He will reveal it to you.
He'll make it known. Number two, prayer not only must be a priority, but prayer must be a prerequisite. We ought to do nothing in our lives until we saturate the decision and the matter in prayer. Even Jesus preceded his activity with prayer. Do you realize before he fed the 5,000, what did he do? before he rose and raised, Lazarus from the dead, what did he do? Before his trial and crucifixion, what did he do? Before becoming sin on the cross for us, he prayed. The realm of spiritual activity, prayer, is important. You cannot do what God calls you to do in your flesh. You cannot. You will fail.
Right.
This endeavor that we're embarking on, this church that we're striving to see grow and to reach out to this community and to this neighborhood, I tell you, you know what the secret to this church is? And you know what the secret to success will be? It's no secret at all. It will be prayer.
We
do too little time in prayer. We need to pray more. I'll tell you, the early disciples there, the apostles, as Jesus had been raised from this earth and gone into heaven, they spent 10 days in that upper room. And what did they do? Potlucks? Praise and worship teams?
No. Pray.
Pray. Did they have a lunch or something today? Well, if we just get Dr. So-and-so in to teach us how to do it, we'll be successful.
I know you, Dr. So-and-so. It wasn't Peter and John and all the guys standing up and telling all the 120 this is how we're going to do it. You know what they did? They got on their face before God and they prayed.
I get troubled, I tell you. I know it troubles people. I don't,
as a pastor, I don't go out talking to a bunch of, Dr. So-and-so. Dr. So-and-so, how do I go to church?
I got the book. I don't need Dr. Bradbottom, whatever his name is. I don't need his book. I got the Bible. God speaks to me through his book. And guess what? I get to speak to God through prayer. Prayer has to be and must be a prerequisite in all that we do.
Charles Spurgeon was one of the greatest preachers of the late 1800s. He called his church the Soul Train. You know why? Because the unsaved went in and they didn't leave until they got saved. I mean, it was just that kind of place where people came to know Christ.
It was a church of great power. He would preach to thousands at a time where everybody went to church. Thousands would come. It was a church reaching and doing a great work in the city of London. Men and preachers from all over would come and ask Mr. Spurgeon, what is the secret to success? How do you feel a great work like you built here, the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London?
One time this preacher asked him that question. He said, well, let me show you the secret.
He took this young preacher and they walked down into the bowels of the basements of this church.
Right under the pulpit they went. They had a room there right under the pulpit.
He says, you want to know the secret?
You open the door. The preacher, young preacher, not expecting that. Exception. Open the door, and in that room, tens, 30, 40 people. He says, I see
the secret. Faith Baptist Church, the secret to our success will be prayer. And that's why I say it's no secret at all. He said, Pastor, I'm struggling with my family. My marriage is struggling. My children, I'm struggling with them. Pastor, what is the secret to having a great marriage? What is the secret to having a great family? I'll tell you, the secret is prayer. You can't do it. Prayer, again, is simply, really, it's a place. And you know what? We won't pray until we humble ourselves.
Right.
True prayer is born out of a heart of humility.
Right.
If you don't think you need God, why are you going to pray? You see my point? People today, we'll only pray when things are going bad, when we can't do it on our own. When God says, I want you to pray all the time.
Right.
It's got to be more than just one thing. You've got to humble yourself before me. You have to pray.
Right.
We carry out the work of God and the power of prayer. We will succeed and He will get the glory.
You want to raise a good family?
You want to raise your children up for God? Get on your knees and pray that God, by His grace, will enable you to do that. You want to have a great marriage? You say, oh, Pastor, we're fighting like cats and dogs. My wife hates me, and I may hate her a little bit. God can change all that, but you've got to get on your knees.
That's right.
Oh, Pastor, I can't do what God has called me to do. Pray. Preparation gained in the closet of secret prayer is far more valuable than all that is gained in study.
Pray. So, Pastor, I just feel like things are empty and dry. I mean, you don't hear me reading my Bible. You don't hear me and pray. Ask God to make things real.
Prayer has to be the prerequisite. You're a fool to make any sort of decision of any importance without first being in prayer. Now, I'm all for counsel. Listen, as your pastor, I am available to you.
You say, Pastor, you're so young. Yeah, you know, I believe God gives passage to wisdom. I believe in you. And it's not me, because I am so needy. That's not very nice. Well, I know. But I know that God gives me wisdom. He does. And I may come from Him. It's not me. It's not because of me either, that's for sure. And I think it's good to seek counsel. And not just for me, but for mothers, godly men and women say, hey, what do you think? Will you pray? But you know what? You cannot substitute that for prayer. You got a decision to make about your job. You got a decision to make about your family.
You got a decision to make that's going to change your life. You better be on your knees praying
about it.
Right.
Lifting it up in prayer.
Number three, prayer must be practiced. That sort of covered this. It's not enough to know the prayer formulas, the rules, the promises, to make prayer truly effective. I know this is common sense. We've got to do it. We spend a lot of time reading about how we ought to pray. We spend a lot of time thinking about how we should pray. We spend a lot of time preparing to pray. But oftentimes we don't spend any time praying. We have to pray. We must get ourselves busy in prayer.
Amen.
It was Martin Luther, the great reformer of the 1500s,
who every morning would spend 4 hours in prayer. Of course, he was a busy man with a busy schedule, especially later in his life.
And one time, one of his aides came to him and said, Mr. Luther, you don't have 4 hours.
You don't have time to spend that 4 hours of prayer this morning. We've got too much to do. Mr. Luther looked at him and said, I don't have time now. Put it all aside. I've got to say
prayer must be practiced. When we're not in the custom of praying, we need to get busy about it. Praying desperately. And asking God to help us in our prayers. Go to Romans, please, with me. Romans chapter number 8. I love this verse, a promise of God. Romans 8 and verse number 26. Talks about the Spirit of God. And it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. He said, Pastor, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to pray for.
You know what? That's just a weakness that we have said. We just don't have that infinite wisdom
that God has. But we have the Spirit of God that indwells us, and He is there to help our weaknesses, to help our infirmities. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. This is Romans 8:26. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. God's Spirit is available and willing to help you in prayer, to guide you in prayer. Weak praying always begats weak living. We must be diligent in our praying if we're going to be effective with the Lord. You know, as a church, we are going to be much more effective.
You say, Pastor, why don't we have this ministry? Why don't we have that ministry? Why aren't we busy doing this and busy doing that?
I think a lot of times, and I'm not against a busy church, as we grow, we're going to become busier. We're going to become doing more for God. But I think I've seen this happen in churches where we spend a lot of time busy, and very little time in prayer.
Sure.
And we work ourselves to death. We work our fingers to a bone serving God. And we spend very little time in prayer at that service. I really believe our efforts would be doubled or tripled or even multiplied beyond our wildest imagination if we would just pray.
Do you think, let me ask you a question. Now, those folks in the book of Acts,
when Jesus left, he said, I'm going to wait for the Holy Spirit. Do you think they had any idea that that very Sunday, that very day, that Passover day, that God would save thousands of people?
I don't think they did.
I just think they just prayed.
Right.
And these men, they didn't go out. And that's what, you know, a lot of churches today, you know why they have the entertainment?
Because they don't have gospel power.
Right.
That's what they need to entertain for people to come in.
That's right.
They got to have the rock and roll shows.
Right.
They got to have the skits. And I'm not against making church interesting.
I hope that my sermons are interesting. And I hope you're awake and you want to listen. But you know what?
We'll never be a church where we've got some big production and we've got like a theater going on.
Right.
We don't need that. If you've got God's power and you're praying, God will bring people in. He'll save people.
Amen.
A lot of churches today, they're trying to substitute all this preparation for prayer and God's power. The men in the book of Acts, you know what they did? You know how thousands came to know Christ that day? Did they give away free food? Did they give away TVs? Did they have a jar of clay come up and rock and roll about Jesus? No. He's got to preach. But their preaching was prepared for the blood.
They got to preach and God has come to bless these folks.
Thousands were saved that day. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your prayer life? I think if we're honest, we may just have to use one hand to count that.
That's sad.
But you know what? We can change it. We can be people of prayer. But we've got to place a priority on it. We've got to make it the prerequisite of all that we do, and we have to practice it. Early African converts learned the importance of spending time in daily prayer. Each Christian, each new Christian, would find a solitary place out in the thicket where he could share his heart in privacy with the Heavenly Father. As time passed, the pathway to their thicket would become worn because they had walked so many times to that place of prayer. If a Christian neglected his prayer life, others would soon notice. Why? Because the greenery would start to come again over their path. A gentle rebuke and reminder was often used among them, and they would say to one another, "Brother,
there's grass growing. It's dying. This morning, excuse me. There's grass growing. Not for the lazy, for those that are coming at God. Let's not wait. Our point is those first going to God. Right? If you believe God, start praying. Let's do it while we're since God's will.
With every head bowed and every eye closed, prayer. The prerequisite, it must be the priority and we must practice it. What place does prayer hold in your life this morning?
I want to challenge you, Christian. We need to be people of prayer.
And if we're not, God help us.